Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about the importance of our companions, our pets and animals, so please feel free to participate or just listen. And I'm waiting for Kat to call in. So I'm going to start it off just talking a little bit about my experience with my pets. And I do have a couple of callers on the line, and that's wonderful. I trust that they have stories to share as well. I currently, in our household, we have 6 pets and a bird, 2 dogs and 4 cats. And they are more than a handful. They're each so different, such different personalities, and we're so blessed to have all of them. Over the years, I've had pets since I was 7 years old, so I'm looking at over 50 years of pets. And, I just got a message from my husband, so pardon the interruption. At any rate, I've been through the joy of owning and sharing my life with so many different pets, cats and dogs. And, of course, the thing about having pets is that we outlive them. And that can be such a devastating experience. And when Kat comes on the line, she wants to pay tribute to her cat Prometheus, who just passed last week. I wanted to talk about one of my pets. His name was Chauncey. He was a beagle. He and his brother Waldo were litter mates. And it's interesting the way they came into our lives. I had a friend that said he was going to get a dog, and I said, can I come along? And when we got there and he picked out his beagle, I fell in love with this one little boy that kept running away from me. And I pursued him, and he eventually lay on his back and let me rub his belly. And so I adopted him and brought him home. And then my partner, Al, said that he would like to share the pet with me. And I jokingly said, if you want one, go back and get one for yourself. And so he did. He went back and got the last of the dogs, whose name was Chauncey. And Chauncey was another beautiful little beagle, very different personality than Waldo. Waldo sounded like a trumpet when he would sound off, and Chauncey was a little bit more like I was going to say foghorn. That's not exactly correct, but his voice was deeper. Anyhow, we enjoyed those beagles for 14 years, and Waldo passed away very quickly. He had a stroke, and we took him in to be treated, and they were optimistic about his prognosis, so we left him for some care overnight at the emergency vets. And when we got home, there was a message to call, and he'd gone into cardiac arrest. So that was very sad. But we still had Chauncey, and Chauncey was a vibrant, happy dog who went through a time of deep mourning. We would come home at night from work and hear him pitifully Al can help me out with this. Let me bring him on the line. Here's Al. How would you describe the sound that Chauncey made when we came home after work?
Well, usually the dogs were in unison with one another. One would start and the other would go too. So I so often remember their voices being blended. But Chauncey had a lower pitched voice than Waldo.
Oh, well, what I was referring to was the time after Waldo passed. We'd hear Chauncey making the most pitiful sounds when we came home. How would you describe those?
He just sounded so lonely. I mean, those dogs were so bonded. They wouldn't even sleep alone. They didn't want to sleep alone. They always wanted to be with one another. And he was depressed after Waldo died. He was very aware his brother wasn't there. It was a difficult time for him. And,
we had
tried to make it better for him by getting a cat, and because we thought the cat might help, and it just did not help. The cat was not a friendly cat and terrorized Chauncey instead. So I kind of felt badly about that we had wanted him to have a little more company, and it didn't work out for him. But he
Can you back up a minute? Can you back up a minute and tell the story about the bladder tumor?
Yeah, that was, God, he had a tumor, and we were afraid that we were going to lose him. We were going to lose Chauncey, and we had him treated for that, and we got this great news that the treatment was successful, and our hopes were really high. We were feeling so hopeful for Chauncey. Because we hadn't known that was going to be the positive outcome. And it wasn't very long after that he had a tumor develop behind his ear. And it was just, after having our spirits lifted so high to get this other news that he had cancer again, and we put him on a treatment for that. And the treatment caused him to throw a clot. That was very sad for us, because the very thing we had done to try to prolong his life is what had caused him to have a stroke. He had lost his... he became partially paralyzed in hind limbs. And David and I went up to see him at the hospital. He was so happy to see us, and he was just pushing through the problems with his limbs to come and see us and greet us. And the vet ended up telling us that it was highly likely that he was going to throw more clots, that this wasn't the last one. And it was a very bleak prognosis for him. It was a very hard time in both our lives. Because we had to make this awful decision about Chauncey at that time. They were recommending that we put him down. And that's what we did. You know, we'd been through this roller coaster with him of ups and downs. And, it was not a happy ending. We were there with him when, he laid on our laps at the time. It was heartbreaking, because that dog loved and trusted us. And we had to make this awful decision at a time when he showed us how much he loved us and wanted to be with us. We had to make this awful decision to end his life, so he wouldn't suffer more. It wasn't that it was a wrong decision. It wasn't. But it just was an awful decision to have to make. Really awful.
Well, I wanted to share one other piece of the story that was really very joyful for me before this happened. And that was that we almost lost him around Christmas time, after the beginning of his treatment, and he was very, very ill. And I prayed that I had enjoyed taking him for walks after Waldo had passed away. And he was such a happy little dog. He would trot along the trail by this lake in our park next to our neighborhood, and his little ears would flap in the wind. And I prayed that I'd have another opportunity to do that with him. And lo and behold, not only did I have the opportunity to do that, but it was the middle of winter, and there was a spring-like day where the temperatures were in the high 50s or low 60s. And so I had one more walk with him, and then the failure came. But the reason I decided to talk about Chauncey, I've had to put several other pets down, and Al and I have had to do that together a few times. But there was something about the bond with Chauncey that it was just devastating to me. I'd never felt that much grief over losing a pet, even though pets are our family, and each loss was profound. But I grieved over that dog like I hadn't grieved since I lost my beloved maternal grandmother when I was 9. And so it was very difficult. But, you know, the point is that these beautiful creatures come into our lives, and we enjoy them, and we get to see them to the ends of their lives and show them love, and they show us unconditional love, and that's such a beautiful thing. I think what has happened is the cat has called in on a phone line because she hasn't called in on Facebook like I thought. So, Al, I'm going to come back to you, but let me go and see if this line is for Kat. And we do have three other callers on the line tonight. I recognize the numbers. I have Ann, Trish, and Regina. So let me go to this one unknown number and see if it's Kat. All right, Al?
Yes.
Okay. Kat, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I was moved to share the story of losing one of our pets, and I know that you want to pay tribute to Prometheus tonight. Kat has been through a tremendous loss this last week, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Kat.
No, thank you. Any of you who've followed me on Facebook and Instagram would see photos of Prometheus. He was a big, fat ginger tom cat, and I was obsessed with photographing his belly because he just had such a beautiful, furry, scrumptious belly. And he was one of the loves of my life. He came into my life in 2007. I had just lost a cat called Aphrodite, who had been the kitten of a friend's cat. And she had been run over on a busy road near where I lived, which is now why I refuse to live near busy roads. And I came home. It was a Thursday night. And my other cat, Pericles, greeted me and acted like there was something wrong. And I heard, and so did my son, we heard Aphrodite call to us. So we thought that she was alive, but we couldn't find her. She wouldn't come when we called. And I rang around, and I was told by an animal shelter that a cat with her description died on a road near where I lived. And I went into denial, said, no, that's not real. And I went to spiritual church on the following Sunday, and it hit my heart. Spirit absolutely put it into my heart that she was gone. And that night, she jumped through my window. Her spirit jumped through my window. I felt her land on my bed. She played with my body under the sheets, as she always did, and she said, brah, brah, and said a little thing that she says. And I said to her, come back to me. Come back as a big, fat, lazy male cat who never wanders away from home.
Uh-huh.
Now, then suddenly she left, and I knew her spirit was gone. Well, she went to a body, and within a week she was born. She was born as Prometheus. And I know that this is the case because 7 weeks after I said to her, come back, a little kitten was in the window of a pet store that I happened to walk by in my town. And I saw that kitten and I couldn't stop seeing that kitten in my mind afterwards. The pet store was closed. It was a Saturday afternoon. And the next time I could get there was the following Tuesday. And a young couple were looking at the kittens and picked that kitten up and I felt jealous. And I went over and I said, may I hold the kitten? And he hugged me. He hugged right into my chest. And I said, can I adopt this kitten? And he said, yeah. And so I did. And when I brought the kitten home, he knew the house. He had the same meow as Aphrodite. And he knew I had a weird little sort of attached laundry that was sort of an outhouse kind of laundry. And he knew about the rules about that laundry and how you weren't supposed to go out there if you were too little, and he was too little. And he knew all the rules about that laundry, and he also knew Pericles. Pericles wasn't very happy. He weed on my bed 3 nights in a row. because it was just him and I, and he would have preferred that. But my son named him Prometheus. We had a book of myths and legends, and they liked the story of Prometheus, and so they named him Prometheus, and there he was. And we'd also been watching The Lord of the Rings, and, of course, the king is Aragorn. So it was Prometheus Aragorn Kirkpatrick, which is my name. And he was in our family for 13 years, and then recently he started to go downhill. We used to call him Fatty, El Fatteroonie. And he was the best. He was the absolute best. He was the best friend. He didn't like to be held. He wasn't a lap cat. He would hang out with you, and he would sit next to you on the chair. He would sit on behind you on the where you'd rest your head on the chair. He'd sit there on that headrest part. He was a big sook. He was a very emotional cat. He if something happened, like he got curious and he got locked in the shed, and we find him at midnight. He then had to sleep on my bed for days and days, and he had to be where I was, and he needed to have his little emotional cup filled by being near me. He'd sit at my door and wait for me to get up in the middle of the night, because he knew I'd get up for a wee because I have to take painkillers. So then I'd be up for a wee. Then he'd hit me up for first breakfast and get annoyed with me that I wasn't feeding him at 3 a.m. So if I wasn't up by 6, because he'd waited 3 hours, he'd come in the room and sit on my chest. And he was 9.5 kilograms, but he's hefty, very hard to breathe against. And when all that weight's on all 4 paws and he's not laid down yet, that hurts. So he'd lay on me, and that was his way of telling me it was time to get up. And he would speak to me telepathically. I knew what he wanted. I didn't have to get bullied by him, though. My eldest son rang me one time when I was on holidays and he was looking after him. It was 5 a.m. and he said, Prometheus is bullying me. He's bullying me. He wants me to feed him, and it's too early. You said not to feed him till 7. What am I going to do? And I said, how's he bullying you? And he said, he's staring. He's staring at me, which, of course, was Prometheus's way of getting into your head. He was the best. And I was deeply, deeply, deeply saddened, and I can't feel happy. I can have moments of laughter, but my overall disposition, I just can't feel happy right now. I feel empty, and so does Pericles. He's wanting to be near me. It's winter time, so he wants to be snuggled up anyway. He's 16. He's an old boy. But you can tell he's missing him. Suddenly there's lots of cat food. It's just not the same. And it'll never be the same. And Saturday night, two of my spiritual friends and I did a ritual and we crossed Prometheus over. I wanted him to go back to his soul. I didn't want him to jump back into a body. And I know that if I asked him to, he would. Because he already did once before as Aphrodite. He jumped into Prometheus's body. I didn't want him to do that. I wanted him to go and rest. And it's not time. I'm not ready to adopt another animal. So I've had a few people say, "Oh, are you over it? Are you over it?"
No,
I'm not over it. And I hear you, David, when you said that you really grieved for Chauncey. I get it. And you know, a lot of people dismiss animals, and one of the sayings that really annoys me is family. Well, no, they're not like family. They are family.
Yes.
They absolutely are family. I've got a high school friend who was my best friend for a little while. She's adopted a bearded dragon lizard recently, and she's got photo after photo on Facebook. She's totally in love with this little lizard. How is
We just lost Kat. She'll be calling back in. Let's go to the phone lines and talk with Ann. I'm coming to you, Ann. Hello, Ann.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Wow. Well, you know, just my heart and my condolences going out to both of you and anybody else who is struggling with the loss of animals or who have had this really close and powerful connection. And those obviously that have caught the shows that you did for me this month know that there's an incredible story with Jesse, who was in my body prior to me coming in.
Can you explain that?
And the journey. Well, for those that didn't catch those stories, I am a walk-in, so I'm a soul that has stepped into another soul's body, and out of various circumstances that was required, and I just really, instead of going through that story and taking that time tonight, encourage people to go back and catch those interviews, which were May 1st, May 22nd, and May 29th. With you so that they can catch up on those. But the body that I walked into had an incredible journey with a cat, and it involved rescuing this cat from going over a waterfall, knowing that it was going to completely change her life, knowing that it wasn't just a cat. This was in essence a piece of herself. It was her own soul in many ways, and her own essence, her own love, and her own soul connection. And it was a soul that had journeyed into this cat's body that was starved and weak and in some ways sick due to a white blood cell count being extraordinarily high. And she knew whether she took that cat or not, it was going to be, you know, her whole life pretty much depended on that. But it was a love that transcended all of this time that came through this cat's body to open up and to help her remember more about where she came from, the soul that she was. And they traveled for 11 months around the U.S. And this cat had an impact not only on Jesse, but every person that they met, everywhere they went. And it was literally all the way up the western coastline and across the United States and full day hikes in South Dakota on mountaintop and being on the boardwalks in New Jersey. And it was, this cat had made such an impact on so many lives, and the cat's name was Orly, which means bringer of light, and literally had standing reservations around the country. There were people that said, this cat has a seat in my restaurant anytime you're in town. I mean, it was insane to think about, and the people that saw Jesse and Orly together knew that this was not the normal pet owner relationship, which is powerful enough to start with in so many ways. They were just truly, truly connected souls, and they would frequently comment, I've never seen a connection like that between anybody or anything. And it was incredibly powerful, and of course, it unfolded an incredible amount of work and an amazing gift in what we now refer to as the codes and the code journey. And that unfolded in the grief period, that unfolded, and I can completely relate to what Kat was saying about these connections and the different points of where you come in. And because Jesse had a cat prior to Orly that was a very, very powerful connection that she had for 17 years. And that cat came back through another body only to help her understand a medical issue in another cat that she had taken in. And I can relate to having to put, you know, one down. Jesse had to do that. I can tap into that sense of what that was like for her. And it's a devastating choice to have to make, because you're really pulled between wanting to let them pass naturally and wanting to not have them suffer at the same time. And sometimes that's an extremely hard choice. I know with Jesse, she was on the road when Orly passed, and she had found an incredible spot, and things that were never allowed to happen were given to her. And Jesse, you know, again, that impact of really unfolding the power of what their connection, the power of that love that was there between them. And she was at a park kind of rest stop area in Illinois, and it was one that they locked up at night. So, you know, it wasn't like people could just drive up there through the night or things like that. And the police officers actually gave her, I think it was about 3 days there during Orly's passing, so that Orly could pass and not be in disturbance. And the caretakers for the rest stop that lived right in there brought Jesse food, because they're like, you left here in 3 days. You know, we don't know what you're eating, if you're eating. And, you know, they did these types of things. And I think sometimes we underestimate that power of the connection. And I think spiritual people, particularly, they hold these very, very deep connections with their pets. I feel like so much of the power in the connection is because of the unconditional love that's shared. Mm. You know, the whether it's a cat, whether it's a dog, whether it's a horse, it doesn't matter in that sense, because it's the unconditional love, and that's why we feel such a void when they leave, because it's like, man, we're slapped with reality again, and where's that unconditional love that's been seeing me through life, that's been seeing me through all the stuff that isn't unconditional love? And that force of love is just unbelievable, and once a life has been touched by that, it's never going to be the same again. It's, you know, it's never, it just can't be, because you're remembering about soul options. You're remembering about where you're coming from. And, you know, particularly we've had some big influences hit on cats over the last few years, and it has to do with bigger karmic, I don't know if I want to say karmic, but bigger patterns that are happening on our earth, because those aspects are, the cat energy has a lot to do with healing. It has a lot to do with wisdom. It has a lot to do, their energy vibration is very specifically to help hold healing and wisdom energy into the earth and into our world, and to keep us awake and to keep us aware. And we've had so many things in our world wanting to shut that down because they don't want us to know. They don't want us to be aware. They don't want us to understand. So, you know, sadly, the cats have been under a large amount of energy attack, if you want to say that, or energy forces. They've been placed in that victim position. And so their energy and their passing right now is incredibly important. It's incredibly critical that we take care of them. And I'm not saying that the other animals don't deserve an equal amount of love, because they do. But they're so critical to the world's transformation of what we're going through right now. So it's a particularly powerful thing. And, you know, it's very interesting when you contacted me today and said, maybe you can come on and share this, because I know for a long time Jessie was devastated, and she went through a period of, you know, coming back, and then she went through some other times after that that were very, very hard on her, and it was heart-wrenching for her to keep going, even though she knew this deep love. You know, I mean, it gave her what she needed to get by, but that longing never went away for her. And, you know, fortunately they are together now. That love is radiating through every existence right now, which is so incredibly powerful. But what I found so interesting was that you were doing the show tonight and you happened to contact me today and say, you know, hey, can you come on for a little while? Can you, you know, can you jump into the show? Because on June 9th, only, you know, what, a week, a little over a week away, is when Jessie and Orly met. So,
aww, sweet.
That's when their journey began. So I usually try to do something to celebrate that and to acknowledge that connection. And that was always a big thing for Jessie to do, was to acknowledge the connection time and the passing time of Orly in some kind of honoring, some kind of sacredness there. And I think it's hard on the other animals when there's other animals around. You know, you were talking about the dogs and also, you know, cats or whatever the animals are. It doesn't matter, because sometimes you have horses and cats and, you know, these different combinations. And when one goes, you know, if we look at it from the animal's perspective, on one hand, they're very intuitive and they understand, and I'm sure that they've had their communications to know what was happening. But then when one is taken out, like to the vet or something like that, doesn't come back, you can only imagine what that would be like. I mean, if you put yourself in that animal's position, it's like, well, my buddy just went away and my buddy didn't come back. And I have no idea what's going on, and I don't know what's wrong, and I'm not sensing them, and I'm getting all of this sadness from the humans and things like this. And so I think that that's always an interesting thing for us to keep in mind. It's an interesting piece for us to be aware of, that even in our grief, if there are other animals, we need to communicate what's happening, whether that's through conversation or mentally or any of that, because we forget how powerfully emotional animals are and how much feeling that they have. And without some of that communication, it's incredibly hard to you know, to help them, they're going to have a hard time. And the more that we can communicate with them, the more that they can help us and we can help them, and giving them that reassurance, you know, that obviously, you know, this is what it was and this is why and here's what my decision was about. And it brings a new layer of understanding and it removes some of the fear. I know that Jesse did some animal communication and that was some of the work she did and in her lifetime. And she oftentimes would find people that were either their animals were right near a point of passing and they would contact her near that transition stage to help them with some things or to help them understand or to help with the transition. And then there were other aspects where she dealt with animals that were in trauma and working with the animal communication, helping their owners understand more about what was happening. But I don't think we can underestimate that communication aspect because it's so important.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you've said so many profound things, Jesse, and pardon that faux pas. It's hard for me to get used to it. But Kat's back, and she's been able to hear 99% of what you've said. So I'm going to go back to her to let her finish up her piece, and then we'll go to some of the other callers. We've had a number of callers tonight, and obviously this subject resonates with people. So we'll try to get to as many of you as we can. And thank you so much for joining us on.
Thank you so much, David.
Okay. God bless. All right, Kat, you were talking about your friend and the lizard.
I was just saying how absolutely in love she is with her new friend, her new boy, the lizard. And so here's this creature that scientifically is seen as really being an instinctual creature that has no thought or feeling other than to eat and procreate, and is just basically an animal that allows the ecosystem to churn over. And yet, once a human has adopted such a creature, there is a completely different experience, a completely different understanding. There's a realization this is a sentient being, that this has a heart and soul, that this creature has thoughts and emotions, that this creature is not just, a pre-programmed flesh and blood, you know, robot that goes and eats and procreates to create a part in the chain of the ecosystem. And I really like everything that Anne was saying about the animals and their soul connection with us. You know, and they have a role to play in our lives. We're all here to teach each other and to assist the soul to grow. And as the soul evolves through the different systems of bodies, from single-celled organism up through the virus and bacteria strains, through the plants, through the animal strains, once the soul is hitting animal, there's a lot of different levels of consciousness of animal. When an animal chooses to incarnate as a domestic animal or an animal that has interaction with humans, then it becomes an animal that is starting to learn from humans, and the soul begins to learn from humans. Now, it might have good and bad experiences from humans, but it still learns from humans, and it gives the soul a chance to have a bit of a leg up to become, to grow into human consciousness and to begin to reincarnate as human. But, I really honestly feel that animal bodies are used by human souls souls that have come to grow into an earned being human, they are used to incarnate, be a guide to other human beings. And I've seen this in my spiritual practice plenty of times. I've also seen animals that are used by angelics. They take on animal form to reincarnate to assist and guide humans. And there was a show that I did back in 2016 in a little town called Redcliffe, which is just north of Brisbane on the coast. And I had to go within and see the spirit guide of the person, and then I'd go to a massive list I had of angels, and I used my pendulum and I'd find the angel for that person, and always they'd link, the spirit guide and the angel would work hand in hand. Well, I went within to see this woman's spirit guide, and instead I saw a little dog. And I opened my eyes and I described the little dog, and she said that little dog died about 2 weeks ago. And then I went within again and I saw a majestic sort of angelic type being. And I described that being to her, and she said, "You've just described the way my dog always made me feel."
Wow.
Well, that was an angelic. And then when I went to the list, I found that angel. And so the angel had utilized the dog body to incarnate with her human to assist her human to grow. And, of course, the angel would grow too. We grow together. So it's very, very important that we recognize such amazing creatures, you know, in that they're not always on a straight trajectory being born animal. You can come in and out of animal form depending on what you need to do and achieve. Once you've earned that bodily form, you can go back to it if necessary. So souls utilize animals. And that animal, that cat that Anne was talking about, to me, that sounds like a spirit guide or an angelic that had incarnated, you know, or a deceased loved one who had incarnated to be that cat with that incredible power of love that it was able to spread over the country, over the USA, and over the lives of many, many people, including Jessie, her human that she owned, because I always say that cats own humans. I know that people think that they're...
I agree.
You don't own the cat. what do they say? Dogs have masters and cats have slaves, and we are. I was very much owned by Prometheus. I am not ashamed to say it. But that was really what I wanted to say. I found Anne's story quite touching.
It was a touching story. And Anne has written about it along with, Jesse and Anne both have written in the Code Journey for 2020 that is out. And she tells the story of Orly, and it's a breathtaking story. So people can go to Anne's website if they're interested in that book, and it's compassionatecodes.com. I'm going to go to Anne for a minute to make sure I've got the website correctly, and then I'm going to go to another caller. Anne, did I get the website correctly?
Compassioncodes.com.
Compassion Codes. Okay, great. Glad I cleared that with you. All right. Well, Kat, I'll come back to you. I may have a few more things to say. Shall we go to some of the other calls?
Let's do that.
Okay. Anybody that's listening or on the caller queue tonight that wants to share their own stories about pets and the importance of animals in their lives, please do so. I'm coming to Trish. And Trish, you're live.
Hi, David. Thank you.
Sure.
Pets have been so important in my life. When I was really young, one of the neighbors brought home this kitten that was probably a couple days old. I mean, the eyes weren't open, and the mother told them to get it out of the house. Well, we always had animals, so it came to our house, and my mom pretty much raised it. I mean, we'd feed it around the clock with one of my baby bottles. I was probably about 4 years old at the time, and she put a ticking clock in there and a hot water bottle, and that cat thought it was a person when it grew up. But we were so close. but it ended up. I used to dress it up in baby clothes. I mean, I was young. I used to dress up in baby clothes and wheel it around the block in a baby carriage, and that cat lapped me. It was just, we had such a close relationship. It died at like 7 years old. It was when they had a lot of ash in the dry food, and it got blockages in its kidneys and died on the operating table. I was devastated by that. That was my best friend at the time. And I've had a lot of cats. I've had a couple experiences. One was I had a cat put down, and I just wasn't in a place to stay there. But when I was driving home, I felt like an energy go through me, and it was the strangest thing. I know I didn't imagine it. And I guess the other thing that stands out in my mind is right now I have a cat that I'm keeping alive by drugs, and I just don't know at what point that he needs me to let go of him. And so I'm kind of struggling with that right now. So that's kind of where I am. David, are you there?
Yes, sorry about that. I muted myself. I wanted to thank you for sharing that story about the kitten, and my heart goes out to you with regards to Mellow. I know what a difficult thing that is to try to gauge when it's appropriate to let go of a pet because they may be suffering too much, and I've been through that a few times, so...
Yeah.
It seems to me that Mellow is still a happy cat, and that he's getting a lot of tender, loving care, and
mm-hmm.
I see him going on for a while longer.
Okay. Thank you for the feedback. Yeah, he seems
sure.
to be doing okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Okay, Kat is back with us. It looks like she dropped out again. I'll bring her back. Kat, I don't know what's up with these phone lines.
Yeah, I know. It's very, very frustrating. It seems to just want to drop out all the time, and I do apologize to everybody listening.
Oh, don't worry about it. At least it didn't interrupt you this time.
Yeah.
Perhaps you, I don't know if you got to hear, I'm not sure when you dropped out, I don't know if you got to hear Trisha's story about the kitten that was bottle fed.
Yes, I did hear. I was able to ring back, and I only lost a few seconds of that story. But that opportunity to nurture and love and have that deep connection with another being is an incredible gift to you and to the other one, the one that you're looking after, and to everybody who's involved. And it means that you must grow in compassion, because you cannot think only of yourself when you have someone else to care for. You must think of them too, and you have to put them first in a lot of ways. And that selflessness is what causes you to grow and deepen as a soul and burn through karma quicker, so that you can come back to who you truly are in a greater way. So any time that it is the blessing of caring for another is asked of you, and you have the correct means, time, and ability to do it, even if it's for a couple of hours until you, you know, if it's a wild animal or something, until you can give it to another who has better skill set than you, that is a moment in time where you can grow, and that is a blessing and a gift and a touch on your heart that no other creature could ever give.
It's true. I've had to go through the painful separation of giving away two pets, and one of them, they both were necessary, but one was almost tragic because I had adopted this chocolate lab mix. Her name was Cinnamon, and we have a little chihuahua named Remy who made the mistake of going near Cinnamon's food dish when Cinnamon was eating, and Cinnamon grabbed Remy by the neck and started shaking her around, and Remy was screaming, and I was beside myself. I don't remember what I did, but I was able to separate them, and I knew that Cinnamon would have to go. I was not going to put her down. I found another home where I was assured there would be no other pets. I didn't share the story, but I just said that this animal is very aggressive with other dogs and has to be in a one-dog-only home. And so I found somebody that fell in love with her and adopted her. And despite everything that went down with Remy, and thank God she's okay, she lost the use of that one eye. But I was just bereft when I had to let Cinnamon go. It's when a pet comes into your life, you make a commitment for life. At least I do. And to have to let go of the pet for whatever reason is heartbreaking. And as I said before, I've had to put down several other beloved pets, and it's always been a difficult transition. I'm just so grateful for the pets that I have in my life today. Each one is unique, and they fill me up. And there's that unconditional love that Ann talked about, which is unmatched by humans. Nothing against humans. We are works in progress, and we practice unconditional love the best we can. But it's not the same as what we draw from a pet. And I couldn't agree more with you, Kat, when you talked about how pets are not like family. They are family. And so when you lose one, it's like losing a child. At least that's what it's like to me. I don't have children, so I don't know if that's a stretch, but that's my feeling about it. Let's see. I want to come back to Al, but there's another caller in the queue that has been with us for quite a while. I haven't identified them. We lost Regina, but this is area code 267, and you're live. What is your first name, please?
Hi, David. It's Jackie Tracy.
Oh, Jackie, hi there. I'm sorry I didn't recognize your phone number. Thank you for calling in.
That's okay. Thank you for having the show. I love it.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, you certainly have some animal stories, I'm sure.
Yes, I have a farm. So we have definitely dogs. I did have five labs, but we lost one this past October of 2019. I have three barn cats, one indoor cat, and then I have horses. So my story is actually about a horse. In fact, it was my very first horse. I got into horses late in life. I was in my 40s. And most people, when they are involved with horses, they're in it from childhood on up, and that was not my case. I always had dogs and cats growing up, but horses came to me very late in life. And so my very first horse was a rescue, and he was a Morgan. And sadly, I only had him for just about a little over 2.5 years. I was, he passed away 1 month before it would have been our third year anniversary together. And I rode this horse. He taught me everything that I know today about riding because I was not a an experienced rider. And he was just, he was just wonderful. You know, I never had an accident with him. He never dumped me or anything like that. But the night that he passed, it only took about 5 hours. When horses, most of the time, when horses die, they will die of what's called a colic, and that is basically a twist of the, or a blockage of the intestines. Horses cannot vomit. I don't know if a lot of people know that. So everything has to come out the back end. And when that's blocked, or if that's twisted, that is usually 90% cause of death in horses. And so there isn't a lot of time to wrap your emotions or your head around the fact that you're losing your favorite pet. And so the night that he passed here, it was back in 2011, actually, September of 2011. He was 27 years old, and at that point, I didn't think that that was old. But horses are, for every 1 year, it's times four. So at this point, he's definitely over 100 years old. And,
wow.
I came to know that later on because I had said to the vet, look, I had his papers. He was papered. He had a show life earlier on. He was quite special. He was a world champion back in the 90s. So unbelievable. But the vet said, no. Anything over 25 years for a horse, you're on borrowed time, she told me. So needless to say, 5 hours from the time that I realized he was sick to the time where I had to say my goodbyes. And anybody who's on the show who has horses, they understand when you have to put a horse down, it can be very traumatic because the drug they put in the horse's vein is just basically they're still alive, but they're just asleep. And so unlike a dog or a cat that might be ill and it's already on your lap or it's laying down, horses are very stoic, so they're always standing. They sleep standing. I mean, sometimes they do lay down, but to see a horse crumble like that, just lay down, is very traumatic. So this particular evening, this was like, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, this had started around 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And what was really amazing about this passing of my first horse was the fact that when I had said my goodbyes, now you have to understand, he's got a lot of drugs in him, but the very painful colics are extremely painful, and I think that's why, and thank God, they go so quickly, because we don't want to see our animals in any pain at the end, especially. And so the vet was getting the medication ready, and he ate some grass, he took some cookies out of my hand, and he walked around me. He had a halter and a lead rope on, and he walked around me, and he lay down all by himself, and he never got up again. So, you see, that horse knew that this was my first experience. He also knew that I didn't want to see him get taken down with the vet, with the drugs. So he voluntarily had the last memories, the last few moments with me, very beautiful and very peaceful. He ate some grass at my feet. And I had cookies, and he actually took the cookies and ate them from my hand. Normally, this would never happen. They're too sick to eat anything. They're not capable. And then he very gently just laid down right at my feet. Now, once he passed, his eyelids were open, and I think I laid out there with him for quite a while, because when horses pass, we cut their tail to keep the tail, and we cut a piece of mane. We keep the hair. It's very sacred. So I must have spent, till 4 o'clock in the morning out there with him, and I just said, his name was Bushy, and I said, Bushy, I really wish you would close your eyes. I really wish you would just close your eyes so it's like you're sleeping and you have peace. Well, in the horse world, when a horse passes away, you need to have a special person come with a special truck to take their bodies away. I was not allowed and would not want to be a part of when the family who owns the farm that comes to take them. They're very humane about it, but you don't want that to be your last memory. So we covered them up. I went into the house, and the next morning my husband said, when Bushy is gone, I will come get you, and then you can come back out. And my husband had come back in the house and he said, "You're never going to believe what I'm about to tell you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, I went out to meet the family for him to be removed, and we had him covered up with a blanket. And he says, when I uncovered him, his eyes were closed. So you have to understand, he passed, he was gone, yet he heard me. And somehow, by a miracle only, because who would go and close his eyes? You know, he was at rest out in the yard. So, it's just very profound to me that he heard me. He loved me that much. He knew it would hurt me deeply if I saw him get forced down with the drugs. He laid down for me, and then he heard me. For my last wish was, I wish your eyes would have shut when you died, because horses usually have their eyes open when they pass. And for my husband to come in to say, I have no idea how this happened, but I want you to know that his eyes were closed. So that's just a very, very special, touching story for me. He was my first horse. It took me 2 years after him to interview other horses to own, to find the right energy in another horse. And I do believe the one I have now, his name is Nappy. I've had him for about 5 years, I believe, now. And I do believe that Bushy's soul is sharing. I don't know if the whole soul's with him, but there's just certain things that Nappy does that only Bushy did. So I do believe that that depending on your pet, depending on the soul and the energy, I think it stays. I also do believe that he's here. I still with me to some degree, but I do think he blended in with the soul of the horse that I ride now.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing it.
No, thank you.
I can relate to that feeling. I have a cat that I actually believe shares the souls of two of my previous cats. It's an amazing situation of different energies that I'm so familiar with from two other cats that passed. And so they do come back to us, that's for sure. No question about it. Well, Kat, we've lost Al. Apparently he's already shared what he wanted to share. And I don't know if there's anything else you would like to say, but Jackie, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, David.
Okay, take good care.
You too.
Thanks.
I think...
I turn it back.
Yeah, thank you, David. I think that the resounding message from everyone who's joined the show is really that these animals that come into our lives are profoundly important to us, and they love us deeply back, and they are willing to go the extra mile to show it. That story of the horse passing away the way that it chose to pass for her so that she'd be peaceful, that was a self-sacrifice. And obviously the horse would have benefited too, because it's easier to pass away laying down than to be forced down with drugs and have to fall. But the fact is that it listened to her, it heard her, and it understood her. And this is where I had a psychologist once really try to convince me that animals had no soul. And I'm really sorry, academia, but animals have a soul. People who want to follow a materialistic, atheistic perspective can all they like, but you're going to be really hard-pressed to convince anyone who's had a beautiful experience with an animal that that creature has no soul. And it's a way that we can all come together too as human beings. We have so many differences that keep us apart. But we have animals in common. I know people will decide whether or not they trust you depending on whether or not their animal likes you. If you enter somebody's house and the animal rejects you, you've got a fairly good option that, you know, the person who owns that house is not going to trust you. They will gauge what their animal thinks of you first. And that is because animals can pick up deeper things than humans who are disconnected can. Humans who are connected can pick up too, you know. I'm not talking about that. But often people will rely on their animals to pick up the subtle energies, to pick up the thought energies of other humans. They're incredible, beautiful friends and deep loves of ours. And there is no boundary for them. We all love to see animals. Children love to see puppy dogs and teddy bears. They'll have a dolly, but as soon as they see a little animal, a soft furry creature, their hearts open up and their minds fill with, because animals are so hugely important to us. I mean, there's so much more I could say, but I looked up some statistics about pets in our lives, and because David and I come from the countries of the United States of America and USA and Australia, I've looked up our two countries. So in the USA, you have, what, 300 million people over there? 67% of U.S. households, or about 85 million families, have a pet in their home. That's a lot of people. Of them, I've got some good statistics here. Of them, 42.7 million households have a cat and 63.4 have a dog. And I also keep fish, and I was interested to see that 11.5 million households have fish. Here in Australia, we've got 25 million people. And so there's a little bit difference in the per capita. That translates to approximately 9.2 million households, because you've got to think 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people living in a house. But there's 62% of Australian households also have animals living with them. So that's 5.7 million households of the 9.2 million households that are in this country are blessed with an animal as part of their family. Animals are incredibly important in our lives. We should celebrate them more. We should be legitimately allowed to grieve over them when they pass on. And we should give each other the respect and love and comfort that we need when we lose one of them, but also celebrate the birth of one or the adoption of one coming into our family, just as we do a human who comes along into our family, either by adoption or birth.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Shall we close with a meditation?
Yes. I think it's your turn, isn't it?
It is, my dear, and I'm willing to do it.
Beautiful.
Yes. Okay, I'd like you all to close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. Let's try 3 deep breaths, breathing in slowly to the count of 4 and out to the count of 4. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. So begin. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. Release. 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. release. 1, 2, 3, 4. One more time. And now just continue to breathe naturally, normally, whatever that's like for you. And imagine yourself as a child. If you have a pet as a child, think of the joy that pet brings to you. And if you're a child like I was and didn't have a pet but wanted one, imagine the longing for bringing a pet into your life and the joy that you felt when a pet entered. And so I want you to remember that first pet and think about all of the things that you did together, the love that you shared together, the times that you played together, how you petted the pet, if you had the responsibility of feeding the pet, the joy the pet had when you placed the food in front of it, the happy wagging tails or the gently swaying tails of the cats, whatever the pet was, just treasure all of the memories that that pet held for you and all of the different ways that you bonded and related to each other, the special times that you had together. And as we've talked about tonight, we know that all good times when it comes to pets come to an end. And that's the case with all of you with regards to your first pet, if it was a childhood pet. And so go back to the scene of the pet's passing and allow yourself to experience the feelings connected to the passing, the grief, the different stages of grieving, the anger, the bargaining, and finally the acceptance. And in your adult self, if you're not able to do this as a child, go back to yourself as a child and allow yourself to release that animal to the spirit world and to know that one day, somehow or another, you will be reunited if that hasn't happened already. And so just imagine and feel within your heart and soul the joy that comes from that inner knowing or from that actual expression of the happening, and allow it to fill your heart and feel your heart expand from the center, expand outward, and see in your heart that pet and draw into your heart all of the other beloved pets that you've had throughout your lifetime, one at a time. Whether they're with you here today in the body or whether or not they've passed, continue to hold them in your heart and know that that's where they always will reside. And so now, when you're ready, open your eyes and remember the joy, the love, the sense of well-being that comes from having owned a beloved animal or a pet. And so I leave you with that thought and wish you all well. Thank you for joining us. If any of you have suggestions for a topic for a future show, that would be welcomed. And I believe you all have my number, but I will give it out just in case, because I would appreciate suggestions. We love to get them from callers. And so if you have a pen and piece of paper, I'm going to give you my number now. It is area code 315-478-1086. And I see... Nope, that's on. I thought we had another new caller. I wanted to acknowledge them if that was the case. But thank you all for joining us tonight. Good night, everybody. Good night, Kat.
Good night. Thanks for joining us.